You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Or go to radio.com/stay connected. The future of the league and the future of our Falcons is almost here. The NFL draft is coming, and we have exclusive coverage. Our Falcons play here. WZGC Atlanta and WZGC HD1, a radio.com sports station.
Atlanta Sports Radio.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It is Dukes and Bell. This is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Glad to have you listening on a Monday. Want to remind you that we are your home for all things NFL draft. That's April 23rd for a special draft edition of College Football Game Time. That's with Chris Goforth, Randy McMichael, John Chuckery. They will kick things off from 5 until 8 o'clock after Mike and I. And then the primetime draft show, which consists of Mike Conte, Dave Archer, and Wes Durham. And they will take you through our first round pick. All 3 days of the draft, we will have exclusive live local coverage and reactions with what our Falcons do in the upcoming draft. And so we invite you to get the radio.com app. That way you can stay in tune to what's going on. I know most of us are at home, right? And that's how you're going to watch it. Or you're going to watch it and you're going to listen. And you're going to listen and you're going to watch it. Either way, you need the radio.com app. And more importantly, you need that app to hear from our latest Falcons, which you'll get a chance to hear throughout the course of the next few days right after the draft, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, some good stuff coming in from a variety of folks as we'll get to our NFL Blitz here in a second. Coming up in just a few minutes, but they were talking about all these potential deals we were laying out there in the first segment of the show, and our buddy Harry Douglas has chimed in, and Harry was talking about he got a chance to see Okuda, the kid from Ohio State, earlier last season, and said he was on the sidelines, and this kid was shut down. He says, I don't think that C.J. Henderson is better than Okuda. Okuda's a top five, at least projected top five pick.
Right.
I don't think we move up to get him when you feel like Henderson is not that far away from where he is. I think they really like, and I'm talking about our Falcons, Henderson's man-to-man ability. At least
that's
the
where
teams,
they say, yeah, that's yes. What you're seeing from all the mock draft. I mean, you're seeing a lot of guys on, we talked about it with what, Ross Tucker, Daniel Jeremiah, all these guys think that he could be, and they're hearing from other people, personnel guys, and again, I understand what Harry's saying, but some guys like, you know, his skill set, Henderson, maybe a little bit better
than Okuda. And so, and that's not to take anything away from Okuda. Again, projected top five pick. If I'm going top five guys, I'm not going to get him, okay?
Right.
If we're going to give up that currency, I'm going to go get Chase Young. I'm going to go get Isaiah Simmons. I'm not going to go do that when I think I've got a corner just as good in Henderson who may be there when we end up picking anyway. And as I've said, Mike, if we go into the top 10 potentially with another team there in Jacksonville, that makes total sense.
Now, again, guys, it's going to be chalk for the first two picks. Burrow's going to the Bengals, and Chase Young is going to the Redskins, and that's non-negotiable, Carl. That's non-negotiable. Man, where it gets interesting, I'm telling you, is three. The Lions are the ones that they've been broadcasted. They've been putting it on milk cartons. They'll make a deal. Let's make a deal. So they want to get down, and we'll see where they go with that. But then who are the other teams that are out there that are looking to maybe make those deals? Carl laid out, if you missed it, the first part of the show, is the Jaguars and the fact that they maybe are looking to do it on the cheap and trade out of a more expensive pick, and we could flip-flop. So that's really intriguing to me because that gets you in a bunch of guys that we just talked about.
Yeah, I think then you could select from probably the top three guys at their positions potentially. And then it becomes who's the better of all three, right? Because if you're going to go, all right, we got a chance to get the best linebacker at his position, the best corner or the second best corner or the second best edge rusher, then who's the best of all those groups? And that's the guy you end up taking. It is Dukes and Bell. Speaking of that, let's get to an NFL Blitz!
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
So, I don't know about you, but when I want advice, I call from people or call on people that I know who have done it. I call on people that I trust, and I think that's what Joe Burrow did when he called Peyton Manning. I want you to hear what Manning had to say about his conversations with Joe Burrow.
Joe called me last week. Obviously, we have somewhat of a relationship since he came down to our football camp last summer. I try to stay in touch with all the quarterbacks that come down to the camp if I can be a resource for them, especially as they approach their NFL dreams. But what an exciting year Joe had. And he called me about some of the things that I tried to do when I was a rookie that maybe he can apply to his NFL career. Looks like it's going to be with the Cincinnati Bengals. And look, what I told him, I said, Joe, when you're the first pick in the NFL draft, you are going to a team that has really earned the first pick in the NFL draft. There are going to be some holes there. And there's a reason the Colts are picking number one that year. There's a reason the Bengals are picking number one this year, the Giants when they had Eli. So other people have to step up. You have to give them some help. But for him, I tried to tell him it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. Look, I lost more games my rookie year than I had my entire high school and college career combined. I threw 26 interceptions. That's still an NFL record. If Joe wants to break that, Hannah, I'd be okay with that. We'd still be friends. And but I tried to learn a lot that year. I played every game. Jim Mora never took me out.
There you go. And I think a lot of people feel that, you know, what is the point other than to put him right in there from week one? You and I joked about this last week. Coaches always do this crap. Drive you crazy. You all know who the guy is. The fans know who the guy is. So just put him in because there's no experience like the real-time game experience. And if you think about Burrow, Carl, he learned the LSU offense in that, you know, his redshirt junior year in about 4 weeks and was able to execute it. And obviously he took a galactic leap in his final year that, of course, he wins the Heisman. But he's shown he's a quick study. And he may even have, you know, wink, wink, parts of that Bengals playbook as it is right now.
Yeah, that's true. So that is the faults of Peyton Manning talking about his conversations with Joe Burrow. Our NFL Blitz is brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Meanwhile, Mike Bell, do you have any interest in Leonard Fournette? Because apparently he's on the trading block.
You and I talked about this dude, man. We thought, you know, again, he's not a bad guy. I just maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars bring out the worst in everyone because everybody gets there and they want to leave. You know, Jalen Ramsey was in Ngakoue wants out now. You know, everybody wants out of there. So I don't know. I mean, he's had run-ins with management. You know, when Coughlin was kind of running as, you know, as the team president, I'm sure that Fournette shenanigans didn't play well when he was there. He certainly, one thing I think we could all agree, Fournette needs a change of address, right?
I do.
But he's never played a full 16-game season.
No, he had his best year last year. I think he ran for, you know, 1,200 yards or whatever. I'm still, and this is going to sound crazy, I'm still not sold on Fournette being the guy we thought he was coming out of college just because of what you just said. Right. In essence, he's had one good year, you know, one good season. Well, that doesn't make a career, and I don't know if that's enough to even get him paid. The deal with Fournette is he's fairly cheap because he's still playing under his rookie deal. So, you know, $4.1 million base salary this season. Somebody's going to roll the dice and take a chance on a guy. He ran for 1,152, 522 yards receiving. So that was his best season last year. Speaking of Ngakoue, I want you to mention this because this was a guy a few months ago. I told Mike if we could make a trade, this was prior to us getting Dante Fowler, and we still were talking about getting pass rush. He gets to tweeting, and this is when you need to put the phone down, talking about, you know, tired of the back and forth with the Jaguars. Let's get this blank done. And he tweets at the co-owner. His name's Tony Khan. And he says, stop hiding. And Khan hit him back. You know, he says, I'm not hiding, sir. I'm in isolation getting ready for the draft. I've been pretty active on social media in isolation, but you wouldn't know that since you unfollowed me again, as he said that to Ngakoue. So then Ngakoue hits him back and says, well, since you're feeling mighty today, let's let the world know. We've been discussing this for some time. You told me after the Chargers game it would be my last game, yet you tried to, you know, the backdoor situation without answering any of my camp's calls, shaking my head. You spoiled blank. Holding up people for no reason. Clown emoji. And then Khan, the co-owner of the Jags, hits him back and says, it's a new regime here, sir. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for all the contributions you've made. But the only way that you're going to get traded any faster is with good compensation. Please redirect your efforts into a more productive outlet. Whoa.
All right. Now, this is Khan is the idiot son of Shad Khan.
Correct.
So just like Stephen Jones with Jerry Jones. So I mean, again, it's a you know, he makes a good case saying, look, here's the way this goes. He's 38 years old, by the way, is Tony Khan. Joined the team in 2012. So again, Carl, deep football knowledge as vice president of football technology and analytics. Okay, he's also part of the AEW. He's part of that wrestling, that All Elite Wrestling. So look, you know how I feel about nepotism and people that take advantage of it. I hate them. So as far as Tony Khan, okay, good. You want to get into a Twitter war with a guy, with another disgruntled employee. How about you take a look at your organization from top to bottom? Why do people go there and then never want to stay there? You think there's maybe a flaw? You think there's maybe a fundamental flaw, Carl? What do you think with how the franchise is run?
Yeah, and by the way, Gwakwe's right. They've traded away their core group that was just a few years ago, like Mike said, playing for a chance to play it in a Super Bowl. Did they blow it? Yes. But I put that more on the coach who got, you know, really soft at the end of a game, right, and was scared of trying to win the game. And, you know, he was playing to lose rather than playing to win. With all of that said, that's the mess that's going on with Jacksonville. And that's why trading Leonard Fournette is not out of the question. If it doesn't happen during the draft, do not be surprised before the season rolls around that Leonard Fournette is with the new team. Hey, let's hear from Doug Flutie on Tua Tagovailoa, because Tua, by the way, the Wonderlic score. Now, I don't know how much of the show you actually heard on Friday. Mm-hmm. We hope you heard enough. Yeah. But Tua scored low on the Wonderlic. A lot of people made a big deal out of it. Richard Sherman came out and said, this is a joke. Nobody gives a damn. I agree with him. But Doug Flutie was asked about his talent level. This is Doug Flutie on Tua.
He's one of those guys that might be a question mark at the NFL level because of his pure athleticism and all, but you look at things like when he came off the bench in a national championship game, his first real playing time, everything was on the line and he performed. The big stage never affected him. He went out and balled. He just flat out played, and he's got a tremendous arm. And I go back to that same game, and he just flicks his wrist and that thing's spinning. It reminds me of the way the ball came off Michael Vick's hand, because he's a lefty, and how hard and far he can actually throw the football.
Mm. Now, this goes back to, what does your doctor say? What does their doctor say? Do you feel that this guy can give you, you know, that whatever you feel, Carl, the two contracts, you know, 10 years in the NFL is the man, you know, or do you think this guy is going to, you know, is going to break down for you? In which case, then his stock slips, and then eventually I still think he's going to be a star in the NFL. I just don't know where it's going to happen for him.
Yeah, and that to me is the bigger question, whether it's the Dolphins at 5, whether they go another route. As we've talked about, if he drops, you know, the Browns aren't picking a quarterback. The Jags may, but they need so much other help.
Right.
I don't see that happening. And then you get to the Raiders. We talked about it. And they need a wide receiver. And you go, well, why would they go quarterback? Well, because Gruden ain't going to pass up a talent like Tua, in my opinion. It's going to be interesting. If he goes 5, okay, it's chalk, as we say. If he doesn't, things get really interesting as to how far Tua may go, you know, may fall in this draft. Hey, I want you to hear from DeAndre Hopkins. We've talked a lot about D-Hop. He was basically given away to the Cardinals. He was asked, though, about his new quarterback, Kyler Murray, and how he compares to Deshaun Watson.
Both of those guys are able to get out of situations with their feet. And that's one of the things. And also, you know, they both keep their head downfield and trying to make that play, not just with their feet. A lot of similarities there. Obviously, they can run out the pocket and get away from things, but both of those guys also, you know, have a very strong arm.
Yeah, I think it's a win for him, Mike. I mean, he went from one guy who could get it done to another guy, maybe a little smaller in stature, but I really like Kyler Murray. I mean, if you watched him play against our Falcons last year, everybody ate us up, but he chopped us up. I mean, he did.
Right. I mean, well, we helped. We had guys who weren't sure what the play was in the secondary, where they were supposed to be. But that said, yeah, man, that's why I think Jalen Hurts with the right team, man. I think Jalen Hurts can still be that guy. You know, and again, maybe Justin Herbert will all laugh about the things we said. But I mean, Oregon quarterback's not named Dan Fouts. Go ahead, Carl. Let's do 5 minutes. You know what I mean? No, I mean, for starting with Marcus Mariota. What was his – how would you classify his first 5 years in the NFL?
What's the word we use? Uneven?
Yeah,
uneven.
I mean, he's not even on the team. He's a Raider now. You know what I mean? You're drafting Jameis Winston. You know, I mean, he's Florida State, but the same draft. I mean, I don't know. I don't know about Herbert. I was joking around with Andy Bunker about this. We were texting back and forth. I don't know that I'm so negative on the Pac-12. You know, I think Jacob Eason has got more upside than Justin Herbert. I don't know, man. I know that Herbert can run. I mean, he's definitely got the dual threat capability.
Yeah, this quarterback thing, man, you talk about Thursday is going to be really fun to watch and see how it plays out. And then you throw Jalen Hurts in there. People are saying, again, Hurts is going to get – he's going to be a second-round pick. Now, he's not a first-round guy, but Hurts may – I think people view him as first-round talent, Mike, if he goes to the right team. But you're going to get value by taking him in the second round. And so, you know, Peter King, again, saying he thinks he's going to be gone. Whether it's us or not, that's a different story. But I do agree with that. I think somebody's going to roll the dice on Jalen Hurts, even though we're talking about all these other quarterbacks. Well, speaking of quarterbacks, what do the Patriots do, Mike? Do they trade up to go get one?
Well, that's one of the things that Peter King was talking about in Football Morning in America, the idea that, you know, if for instance, now, if more than, you know, what we expect as far as the number of teams that need a quarterback feel negatively about Tua and the health issue, do the Patriots move up or find a way to, you know, make a move into the back end of the first round and just grab Tua? Now, you could argue that, you know, the Patriots, because they're so good, they're never in a position to go 3-13. They never get a chance at the big marquee quarterback. So maybe this would be the chance to go get Tua. If Belichick's doctors are telling him what he wants to hear.
It is our NFL Blitz brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Coming up next on Dukes and Bell, who was Scottie Pippen almost traded for? And then who stepped in? We'll tell you the story next as everybody's reacting to The Last Dance at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. It is Dukes and Bell. More draft talk on the way. Coming up in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to get a chance to talk to Bobby Hebert about what the Saints are going to do potentially in this draft. We want to keep up with our enemies, man, and see what's happening in our division. So we'll do that over the next couple of days, find out what Carolina may be thinking. Also with the Tampa Bay Bucks and how they look to improve, along with our Falcons. We are live from the Mobile Kia Studios. It is Dukes and Bell. Hey, Mike, I know you saw the part last night on The Last Dance where Michael's talking about going into the hotel room when he first got to the Bulls and all these guys, there's coke in the room and there's amphetamines.
Yeah, it was a traveling cocaine circus was the line. We made a lot of headlines, by the way. A lot of people saw that. I mean, it was the first 5 minutes and immediately people posted that up on social media.
Yeah, okay, so, you know, full disclosure. Now, I didn't start in this business in the 80s. I know you're a little bit older than I am, but I got to tell you, that was our business when I first got into it. Oh. You know, that was a lot of the guys that were famous, and I will tell you that whether you listen to them in a certain market or nationally, a lot of guys were doing that stuff. And I just think, you know, I'm not going to say it was predominantly the culture of the United States, but we all know cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah, the 80s, cocaine, it's a cocaine generation. But no, the thing about that, and this is why for our younger listeners out there, what an amazing job that David Stern did, because he inherits an NBA that was so inconsequential. They're running the finals, famously, Carl, they're running the finals on tape delay. You know, and luckily, you know, Dr. J and the Sixers make a run, Magic and Bird come, and then the whole thing begins to turn around. But if you were a member of a 28-win Chicago Bulls team, yeah, you're doing bumps, you're smoking some ganja, you're getting in on the road, you're stealing money in the NBA, you know, and that was the perception. And Michael Jordan said, yeah, he goes, I immediately look, he goes, first thing he says, if you didn't see it last night, Jordan's like, well, if the cops show up, I'm part of this. So it's like, I'm getting the hell out of there. And, you know, look, Michael's vices are well known. He loves to gamble. He loves, and I'm looking forward to hearing how much he talks about that. You know, and I heard Jim Rome on the CBS Sports Minute, waste of 90 seconds, but we have to play it.
Talking about,
oh, what was that glass? I mean, who gives a crap? He's got a cocktail. He's in his home doing an interview. Okay, he also had cigars. Maybe we'll see him light up a cigar over the course of the 10 hours, right, of these interviews. But I thought it was kind of really neat to get that time capsule. Again, the Bulls were an example of the very dysfunctional, Carl, end of the NBA spectrum.
So part of this first two episodes last night was the Scottie Pippen aspect of the 97-98 season, which Pip obviously doesn't start the season on time because he delayed his surgery. But he also wanted out. And, you know, today, ironically, they have republished this article, the Chicago Tribune, going back to 1997, and it talks about Scottie Pippen's trade demands. And this is a quote. I'm very serious about this. I don't feel Jerry Krause respects me. I don't feel the organization respects me. I don't plan on playing another game for the Chicago Bulls. And that's out of the Chicago Tribune back in 97, where he was quoted as saying that. And then, Mike, you know, some people were saying, you had Mike last night talking about Pip when Mike was making $33 million and Pippen was making 2.7, you know? And right, there was nobody in the league that was more important to his success than Pippen. But we know he was underpaid and all of that, and kind of came out last night. And we'll see where this goes, because, you know, again, if you lived it, you know ultimately Pippen's going to help him win another championship. But this is where it was bad. But how can Mike sit there and go, yeah, I think he needs to be here, he's being selfish, when he's making $33 million at the time?
I mean, at the point, like, I like what Reinsdorf says. He goes, look, I told these guys I wouldn't sign that deal, but once you sign that deal, I don't want to hear a peep out of you.
Right.
You know, and that's how men handle their business. Pippen, now, you could argue, and it's kind of interesting, I'm not trying to do a psychological profile on Scottie, but he was nervous about, look, I got to take care of my family. Bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. It's kind of like what Ozzie Albies did with the Braves. If I was Ozzie Albies' manager in a million years, I would say, don't take this deal. You know, you believe in yourself, you bet on yourself. Same goes for Acuna. But some guys say, and that's basically what Scottie Pippen did. But in his case, he was woefully undercompensated. He'd be one of the top three players in the league, and you're getting paid for, like, what they say, Carly, he was the 122nd highest paid guy.
Yeah, here's the bigger irony for Pip. He is a part of the mechanism that helped the league grow, and that's why salaries went up, yet he didn't benefit. Think about that. He's a part of the Bulls team that is world-renowned, that is the reason why more people are watching, and the rights went up, and the TV deals, and the advertising, and he doesn't get paid off of it.
Nope.
That's what's crazy, you know? So, in hindsight's 2020, obviously, in the moment, it was like, man, Pip's making $2 million, that's a lot of money. And it was, and it still is, but not comparative to where they had taken the league when him and Mike started this journey, and now they've become the biggest global team in the world. That's the part of it that's kind of crazy. Speaking of Scottie Pippen, Mike, he wanted out. Today, on the jump, Tracy McGrady admits, and this was kind of news because nobody really even knew that the Bulls had a secret meeting with Scottie Pippen, or should I say Tracy McGrady, back in 97. This is Tracy McGrady saying the Bulls wanted him in exchange for Scottie Pippen. He is with Toronto at the time.
Today.
Well, you know what a lot of people don't know about that night is that Jerry Krause was actually trying to make a trade for me and Scottie Pippen, and MJ called and axed that whole deal.
Oh.
But for me, being a...
Did you know that at the time?
Yes.
What?
Absolutely. Jerry Krause was trying to make a trade for me that night and Scottie Pippen. They brought me in for a secret meeting. Yes, they did.
The entire course of the NBA...
So that's Rachel Nichols. That's yeah, it's crazy, right? That's Rachel Nichols who's responding, by the way.
So what do you make of that?
I just retweeted one of the funniest things I've seen all day. It goes back to last night. A guy named Christopher McNeil. You can go to my Twitter. He says, Jordan, after Pippen requested a trade from the Bulls, and it's a scene from the movie Juice, where Tupac's character, his name is Bishop, and Omar Epps' character, his name's Q, and Tupac's waiting for him at his locker, and he closes his locker, and he's just looking at him like, what you asked for? And it's the funniest meme. But anyways, man, I think that Jerry Krause, for what it's worth, this is the part that people don't want to acknowledge. Mike, he was doing his job.
No, and I said that to start the show. Look, he's both a genius and he's a like all human beings, he wants to be given a slap on the back and an attaboy and recognized as the architect of this amazing team. But it seemed like it almost became, Carl, you know, like a driving force. Like, yeah, okay, five's enough. We're going to tank this thing and we're going to. Who thinks like that? Who thinks after the fifth year, oh, yeah, you know, we probably got to start. Now it's time we're going to move it around. No, you've got more than enough. You got the greatest player in the history of the sport. You got the second greatest player of the generation, one could argue, in Pippen. And you want to blow that up? I mean, it just – and Krause, you just see it. He's got that little man syndrome. It was well-documented, and you saw it. And again, he's – because Phil – and I think Phil, you know, I think Phil maybe forgot that, right? You know, he gets his start with Krause, and then Phil kind of sort of believe his own BS. Now, I'll definitely give the edge to Krause on that one. Phil believed his own BS, Carl, at the end. So he became the Zen master.
Yeah. Well, he parlayed that into, obviously, right, the Laker job, right, and he got some more championships. And I do think Phil, the best thing about Phil, and we're learning this, and I think people who study these teams know this, you know, Shaq has said it, Kobe one time told me, he just handled people. Phil wasn't the architect of the triangle. That was Tex Winter. Phil just handled people. He knew how to push the right buttons, and he did it better than anybody else, and he managed the egos. Same thing he did in L.A. with Kobe and Shaq. That's why they were able to win. But
right. And remember, he also inherited a Lakers team. I don't want to make it all about killing Phil over, you know, with, and siding with Krause, because other coaches had tried and couldn't make it work with the Laker dynamic, and Phil was able to figure out how to make it work with Kobe and Shaq.
Yeah. I mean, and so I don't disagree with that. I think that success, again, Mike, when you get to a certain point, people start tripping.
Ego, right? Baby. Ego.
I mean, yeah. And so, you know, you had Phil going, look at what I've done. You got Kraus going, look at what I've built. You got Mike going, I'm doing all the work. All this stuff is combustion for a big fire that ultimately happened. It's Dukes and Bell. We're talking about The Last Dance. So Pippen wanted out, and today we find out from Tracy McGrady that he was the target, and Kraus had actually talked to him about coming. Now, you're going to say Mike vetoed that trade. That's simple to me. Mike didn't trust or know Tracy McGrady.
Right.
He trusted and knew Scottie Pippen. It had nothing to do with personal, you know, about anything Tracy McGrady may have done. He just didn't know him. I'm not going to take a kid that I don't know versus a guy I've already won championships with.
Exactly right. And the thing with Mike, again, I thought it was interesting. I don't think that Mike was, you know, dogging Scottie, because Mike said, look, I'm not Michael Jordan without Scottie Pippen. He gave Scottie his props on the
–
if you didn't see it last night. But he also said, look, you know, once we're trying to get to a goal here, look, you signed off on this bad deal. I didn't tell you to sign that contract. And Scottie was one of the first guys who started doing a thing which we saw in the NBA the last 20 years, where guys start taking those surgeries right before the season starts, which is, like, totally selfish. You know what I mean? Scottie's like, I don't want to screw up my summer. Screw this team. I'm getting paid pennies on the dollar. Like, it was a definite message to the team. And Michael's like, look, you got a problem with Kraus, but now you're screwing up the team dynamic. And that was Michael's point last night.
Yeah, and I think it's fair. I mean, listen, if Trae Young, fast forward, okay, and we know Trae, let's say hypothetically, is injured, and he could get the surgery now. Season just ended last week.
Right.
But Trae waits until the end of September to get the surgery, knowing he's going to miss the first 2 months of the season next year. That didn't go over well with Hawks fans. You know, when you go, wait a minute, right, you're our star, you're supposed to be well, and you know you could have gotten this done. But that's the way things were. I'm curious to see what else comes out about Pippen as far as this relationship and you know, with Kraus and what else was. Because apparently Pippen was just dogging this guy out. I mean, he was saying whatever he wanted to say to him.
Yeah, there was an incident that they documented. Again, I know that not everybody gets to watch it like we did last night. I watched Westworld, and I had it on DVR, and I was ready to binge-watch all 10 episodes last night, Carl. I talked about it
on Twitter. Good, man.
Had it been available. Yeah. But there was one sequence where Pippen's on the bus, and he's literally just cursing Jerry Kraus out in front of the entire team and everybody. And it just got to the point where even Phil's like, all right, we need to quiet down the back of the bus, please. Because it was like next level. But here's the thing.
All right.
Kraus is a genius. You cannot argue. He did some amazing stuff. And of course, he never won anything after Michael left. But boy, does Kraus just not look like a character right out of Central Casting? If you were going to cast the almost like the owner in The Natural with Robert Redford, if you were going to cast the guy to play the creep general manager, Kraus is like, right? He's the perfect guy to be the foil for Jordan and Pippen.
Yeah, and I would argue this, and I don't know. We'll never know. If that trade is made, does Mike have more championships? If that trade is made, because he's already got five.
Right.
They make the trade for a younger, athletic version of Scottie Pippen. Now, Tracy McGrady, and I know Tracy well, he's not Scottie Pippen, okay? He was good. There are even question marks as to whether he's a Hall of Famer or not. But at the end of the day, he wasn't as good as Scottie Pippen, especially defensively. Scottie was just locked down. And so people will say, if that deal was made, you're getting a 6'7", 6'8", younger version of Scottie Pippen. Does Mike win more championships?
So does Mike not retire? So Mike doesn't step away in 98 then?
And that's what I'm getting to.
Okay.
And maybe we don't know. But you know what? He wasn't going to do it without Phil and Scottie by his side. And he made the conscious decision to say, hey, that's not going to be the situation. I'm out. You know, so, hey, man, 404-741-0929, more on this coming up a little bit later on as we talk about The Last Dance, the first two episodes of what is going to be a 10-part documentary that's out on ESPN. And with all of us craving live sports, obviously, this is like the second best thing because we get to react to it. And there's so much to talk about when you have all the things that were going down with the Bulls during that time.
Right.
Well, Jahi running the board.
We got the draft, so we got all that to get into. And we also got Guy Talk coming up next, Carl. We know a lot of restaurants have been shuttered during the coronavirus situation. But imagine, Carl, breaking into a restaurant and living there for 4 days and the fun you could have. Details to follow.
It's time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah! Yes! Yeah! Welcome to Atlanta.
It's Dukes and Bell back to work. Week five, by the way. Imagine that, Carl. 5 weeks now we're starting of us doing the show from home in our mobile Kia studios. Got a poll question up for you. As, again, Thursday, nobody's going to have the draft covered like we do. It all started at 5 o'clock right here in our time slot and all the way up to Wes and Arch and all the gang. All the picks live, Carl, throughout the weekend. We'll have on the first-round pick of the Falcons on Friday on our show. You'll hear it first in Atlanta. Nobody's got it covered. Here's the question, Carl. Dukes and Bell, hey, man, poll for you. Falcon fans, based on your expectations, how confident are you the team nails the right draft pick on Thursday night? I'll give you three options, Carl. Tell me what you think. Yes, impact playmaker. Okay, solid starter. And WTF, screw it up. So which do you like of those three choices?
Listen, if we get a solid starter, okay, that's a guy that's going to be in the league, I would tell you, you know, past his first contract. So that's better than Vic Beasley, if you tell me that.
Right.
If you tell me impact player, that's what we need. And
that's,
I think,
potentially
that's
a trade up. That's potentially a move up too.
Exactly. And that's what we need. I mean, we've talked about it. With the guys we're getting back healthy, allegedly, and that's Kiki and that's Keanu Neal, and that's what Dan Quinn calls him and his teammates. But you get Neal back, you know, Debo's healthy for the entire start of the season. Remember last year at the beginning of the season it was kind of uneven. I don't know what that was all about. But I would go with solid starter, Mike. I would feel good about that. But if we get an impact player, which we won't know until, you know, after the first few games or maybe even halfway through the season, that's when you start to know you have a real difference maker. I don't think it took us long to realize Bosa was going to be really good after he got on the field.
Right. You know, and we saw it with Debo early on in 16, and as the season progressed, we knew Keanu Neal right from the jump at practice. What a, you know, big-time hitter that guy was. Speaking of the Falcons and the injuries Carl mentioned, we'll talk more about it in the Falcon Report because I know Dan Quinn, he really does believe that Tack is going to be bigger and better than ever because he's got a healthy shoulder. That's coming up. All right, Carl and I were talking about the Last Dance last night. If you did notice, obviously it's a who's who of NBA stars, and of course guys have connections to the Bulls. President Barack Obama listed as former Chicago resident. Now, some are saying, Carl, that Michael, this is a tweak because, you know, Michael Jordan and Barack, they bust chops about their golf game and they have fun with each other, and that perhaps it maybe Michael had something to do with that as a bit of a goof. But a lot of people went nuts on Twitter last night because when Clinton was talking about Scottie Pippen at Central Arkansas, it was former Arkansas Governor Bill Clinton, but the president was listed as former Chicago resident. What did you make of that?
Well, when Obama was a community leader,
yeah, right.
You know, which he was. But yeah, man, I
think Mike was having fun with it. I think that's part of it. I think him and the producers. I thought that was a tweak. If I had to guess, we'll probably learn more about that in the next couple of days.
But how cool is this? I mean, honestly, you've got two former presidents on a documentary about sports.
Right.
That tells you how big this team was and the components of this team. You know, and so yeah, man. Listen, I want all viewpoints. Like, that's right. My thing about this as I watch it, Mike. I want to get all the different viewpoints from everybody that maybe we haven't heard from in the past. I'll tell you, I'm looking forward to hearing what Dennis says. Dennis does not hold back. Dennis Rodman could care less about anything. He will tell you exactly what's on his mind. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about this whole thing.
Right. And as Carl and I mentioned last night, it's funny because you think of a team and you're like, wow, that team really had everything. And you look at it, it's like Michael, Scottie, and Dennis. And then, well, there's a tremendous fall off as far as the talent. Not that, you know, Steve Kerr wasn't great at hitting big shots and stuff, Carl. But, I mean, there was a precipitous drop as far as the talent on that squad. Hey, man, we've talked about restaurants. And Carl and I, we always support local restaurants here in town. We're tweeting out photos with you, any information on stuff that's out. I want to give a shout out, by the way, to Lila. They were doing, Carl, basically a family dinner you could buy and go pick up on takeout right down the street here in Midtown. So I got like meatballs and sausage and ravioli. I mean, I got noodles, I got tiramisu, the whole package, man, take it home. And a bunch of listeners were showing restaurants in Alpharetta, Woodstock. I mean, there's so many really cool, you know, obviously great restaurant town. So imagine, Carl, if you own a restaurant, and obviously it's shuttered, you probably want to check in on the place every few days, right? That would make sense, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm sure for those folks who, you know, some of the meat that was being right. ready, as far as they've given away some of that stuff, Mike, because right. they're not using it. But yeah, man, you want to check in. Yeah.
Drive by, right? See what's going on. Well, not the case up in Connecticut at this one spot. A Connecticut man arrested after he spent several days pillaging through the food and drinks in a restaurant that was closed because of the coronavirus lockdown. The man reportedly consumed thousands of dollars worth of food and booze.
Oh!
April 14th, the New Haven police responded to a call about an unknown man who was asleep inside Sol de Cuba Cafe in downtown New Haven. Now, as we said, restaurant was closed due to the measures against coronavirus. and the manager was doing a routine check, I guess apparently every 4 days. So he checks the facility, and he discovers there's a dude sleeping inside of the place with a bottle of rum curled up with him in the fetal position.
Here, I'm going to hold on to this rum.
The officers arrived at the scene, detained the man, later identified as 42-year-old Luis Angel Ortiz. Security footage revealed he had been at the restaurant for 4 days before being discovered, having entered through a side window. Over the course of 4 days, he reportedly helped himself to the restaurant's food, liquor, beer, apparently a couple of expensive bottles of Rioja. He also removed some beverages and properties from the building. Management estimates the loss of food and beverages at several thousand dollars. Could you eat several thousand dollars of food and booze in 4 days?
Well, I will say this. I probably could go through the booze. I don't know about the food.
Right.
Okay. I think, you know, just sitting there by yourself and, you ain't got nothing else to do. But I don't know about the food. That's a lot of food. This guy, he got it in. He got it in.
Yeah. So if you want to get the, what was that equate to as far as going into the Huskow? Apparently that is first-degree criminal mischief and failure to appear in court for an unrelated case. So apparently he already had a previous record. He's been charged with third-degree burglary and third-degree larceny, and I don't know how he's going to make restitution, so good luck with that. Hey, we've been all working from home. As you know, it's kind of funny, and you could judge. I think now we've all become kind of snobs, Carl, about who's got a really good Wi-Fi setup in their house, who's got a good camera phone, who's put the effort in as far as the home broadcast.
Yeah.
A TV reporter out in Sacramento accidentally exposes her husband's private parts on TV while doing a segment about how all girls now without a salon have got to be able to do their own hair by themselves.
Wait a minute. Was he walking in the background?
Melinda Mesa of Sacramento's KRCA3 records herself cutting her bangs for a story about hairstylists. We've all joked around about how now women are going to start to look like Cruella De Vil. Some of you might think your wife's a blonde, but she really isn't because all the hair salons are closed. So she's doing this story and she's like snipping her bangs, but in the background. So she's got her camera, you know, facing the mirror. Well, behind her in the shower, and it's her husband named Mike DeLambert, and he's seen in a reflection in the background, totally stark naked. Live over TV in the morning.
Oops. Yeah, I will say this. I found myself, and I am not like a nosy guy in this way. Like if I'm watching something, I'm watching usually the person tell me about whatever's going on in the report. But I have found myself like peeking in the background because you're getting a chance and a glimpse right. to seeing what's going on with people at their places. And so, yeah, I'm with you. I think everybody's doing a little bit of that right now.
So on the station Twitter account that she's got a part of, again, OMG, please let that not be her husband, said one Twitter user.
Oh.
Well, that would be interesting. It'd be fun to see. Another joke. Damn, why does she want to work when she's got all that at home? So apparently it was quite impressive what her husband was bringing to the table. And then yet another had I hope her husband doesn't see this. Hardy har har. So anyway, that's all. One of the, again, drawback but fun for us to talk about some of these people doing TV from home. Speaking of doing TV from home, come Thursday night, we're going to see potentially of the 58 players, not everyone's going to get drafted of the first 32, but there's 58 players who all got that care package the NFL sent out to. It's a setup so you can video basically yourself on the couch or wherever you choose to do it in your house and get the signal back to NFL for the live virtual draft. Who's that? Shapiro we had on, the guy from the NFL that was explaining it. So the guidelines are out, Carl. Needless to say, the NFL does not want to see third-party logos. So unless you are a partner of the NFL, you cannot wear stuff that's not approved, okay? So okay. Except for like Nike, Adidas, Under Armour, New Era, which is all cool. Everything else is not cool. Anything that features political statements, not allowed. Any references to alcohol, drugs, tobacco products, because that's what you want to do on draft night. Smoke weed every day. You know, t-shirt. Nothing advocating the use of illicit substances, activities, yada, yada. Dietary, nutritional substances, and products commonly referred to as energy drinks. So no energy drinks. Remember, was it last year they had Sasquatch was hanging out from the beef jerky commercial?
Oh, yeah, that's right. One of the guys got paid off of that, didn't he?
Right. Well, they're going to, of course, you know, NFL's not getting any piece of that action, so they're going to nip that right in the bud. So in case that didn't cover just about everything, no more reference to movies, video games, and other media that contains or promotes objectionable material or subject matter. Yes, don't get political as well. So enjoy your draft night, guys.
Bobby Hebert is on the way. We'll find out what the Saints are thinking about their draft. Are they going to draft their quarterback of the future? That's coming your way at 420. But next, they ain't going nowhere. We'll explain as we talk college football on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.